This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نعمة المهدى ورحمة الوزان وعلاه وعوذ بالله من شرور الأنفس ومن سيئات الأعمال من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا أما بعد. I'd like just to go over the previous class, the summary of the class that when we spoke about the knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, let me ask you that, have you been doing some of the homework, the reflections?
Some of them.
No. Do you feel your relationship is getting better with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yes.
Because it's important for us not to have just the class like an entertainment, to entertain ourselves and leave. But it should have really impact our life in a such way that we feel we become better Muslim. If someone of us were not doing tahajjud, maybe you cannot do it every day, once a week, pray two raka'at to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before fajr. Dhikr, the members of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are not making that istighfar, asking Allah for forgiveness, we need to start doing this. At least, Rasulullah used to make it 100 times a day, or 70 times, asking Allah for forgiveness. Reminding yourself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said last time when I asked you to reflect on the word Allah, when we said Allah and I asked you to be silent to think about it. When we say police, we're driving your car, if you're speeding, you slow down. If somebody say your mother, something it click in your head, or your father, how about when you say Allah and then it become like saying other, naming in other things? No, it should have impact in our life. And when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, should our mind, our heart, immediately prostrate in humility and humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that would the effect of this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be used in vain. Even as people swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes we might swear by Allah and might not be accurate, might not say the truth. And this is a problem. That means we're taking this qasam, this oath, using Allah's name lightly. And it is a great sin, actually, to use Allah and to swear in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a person not to speak in the truth. Therefore, we would like to change our attitude and our perceptions and perspective of how we deal with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we as Muslims define this relationship as Allah wanted to be defined. Okay. Based on this class, last class at the loving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this class is well connected to it. If I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it automatically should love His words, His book, Quran. Then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, and you know for sure He loves that person, and He told you I love that person, He told you that I favor this person, this person is close to me, this person is my servant, this person whom I trust with my message, then automatically you should love that person. There's no other way around it. Then the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam part of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they love whatever Allah loves. If we love someone, even in the saying here that they said, if you love me, you have to love my family. If you like me, you have to. We say that, we make that condition as human beings. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many verses of Holy Quran that He chose him to be the prophet, his prophet, to deliver this message of the Quran, then he should be the one that we love the most among human beings. Because he's the one that connected the most to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you read in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, for example, in Surah Al-Isra, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. All glory be to Allah, the one who took in the night journey, at night, his servant. That's enough. He said, he's my servant, عبده. That means he served me, he worshipped me. عبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. And very interesting, you see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorify himself by telling us a favor have done to a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhan means glory be to the one who have done and given Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam such a gift of being taken at night in the journey Isra from Masjid al-Haram, from the Kaaba to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. Other ayat in Surah Al-Kahf. What the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf? Alhamdulillah alladhi أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. All praise due to Allah, the one who revealed the book to his servant, على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. It made no crookedness in this book, the Quran. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, تبارك الذي أنزل على عبده الفرقان. All glory, all blessing be upon Allah, all the glory be upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who revealed the Furqan, meaning the Quran, the criteria, the Furqan, ala abdihi, upon his servant, liyakuna lil'alamina nadhira, so that he might warn humanity. Therefore, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising him and giving this status, that all of us, our hearts should go to the Rasulullah. When we think about human being, unfortunately today, magazines, all the cover pictures, the man of the year, Time magazine, this celebrity and that celebrity, our heart has been captured by the love of other people who do not even come near to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so our children, you ask your children at home, sometimes, what number of Michael Jordan, what number of this and that, they will tell you over their head how many times he scored this NBA season, blah, blah, blah. When Rasulullah was born, because maybe the father and the mother, ourselves, I've never told them this. Who was his mother or father's when he became a prophet? What do you know of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa? We cannot afford this. And then when our examples and people they look up to or admire become rich and famous, in the cover of those colorful magazines and on those TV shows, we distance ourselves from the message. Because the manifestation of the message of Rasul sallallahu of the Quran, it was shown in the Rasulullah sallam action. If we don't love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we don't admire Rasulullah, if we're not looking forward to follow his footsteps, that means we lost the connection. Therefore, I would like today to reintroduce. All of us are Muslims. We say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Let us do an exercise where we can reflect in the life of Rasulullah. And I would like to take you back to the life of the time of Rasulullah. We're going to visit Mecca and Medina tonight, where we can try to see Rasulullah in different occasions and events, and connect that event to our personal life. How do we react when you're in that circumstances? How do we deal with the situation if we are in that situation? All of you know in the seerah, how Rasulullah started his life. He started his life as an orphan. He was a young boy that came to this life, a child came to this life, have not seen his father. His mother did not keep a picture in the living room so that he can see the picture of his father. Only he can take is what people tell him about what his father was. As his mother was taking him to see the grave of his father, coming back, she passed away, 7 years old. Lost his mother and father. People look at him as that orphan, that needy, maybe unfortunate, because he lost his father and mother so young. A matter of fact, when Halima Saadiyah, as you know in the seerah, was looking for a child to take to breastfeed so she can be compensated for it, all of the women rejected Rasulullah. They didn't want to take him. They said, is his father alive? No. What his grandfather will do? No, we need the father so you can get paid well. Halima Saadiyah, she took him as a last option. Hesitant. She said, okay, if there's no one left, I will take this boy. Of course, what a child. What a choice. What a blessing for Halima Saadiyah to breastfeed the last prophet, the seal of prophets. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a lady that say, okay, I can live with it. I can take this boy. And the boy she picked, it happened to be the seal of the prophet. The last messenger Allah will ever send. Can you imagine that? That is the beginning of this man's life. Was women breastfeeding, they want to take him. Halima Saadiyah, she saw the blessing the minute she took the child. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching. If you want to choose him as a prophet, do you think he will abandon him? Will have him not want to take care of him? There's someone watching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching the child. The child has to become the prophet. Therefore, oh, Halima Saadiyah, take him. You don't know who you're talking, taking. She said, the minute I take him home, I saw the blessing. The sheep that have no milk, there's milk on them. The food in the house, just blessing, abundant. And her husband said, something is strange about this boy. Since we have him, we have blessing left and right. But little he knew that they are taking care in their household of the last prophet of human being, of mankind. This is amazing. Whenever I think of this, you know, you just imagine that even in dunya perspective, somebody give you a box and said, a box that you think is unwanted and says, can you take care of my box? And so forth. You take the box and said, by the way, you can have the box. You take the box and said, what's all box did he give me? You open it, you find treasure. You find gold. And they said, little I knew. She knew that he, the last prophet of mankind. He was raised in that manner. Meaning that Halima Saadiyah, she took care of him as an orphan, and he brought him back, of course, to his mom. And he saw his mom 2 years or so before she died, spent time with her, because they used to take breastfeed the children and have them in the Bedouin area, so that they speak very eloquent Arabic, and also take them away from the... Imagine, at that time, they think that the city is noisy. What they think about New York today or Washington? They used to take them to the suburb so that they don't get, you know, corrupted, okay? And then bring them back to the city where they're, you know, being well-fed and have them to experience being in open area, and at the same time, learning patience and so forth in that circumstances. Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a young man, never drank. He grew up in Mecca in Jahiliyyah, where people used to drink, where people used to commit adultery and fornication. Never thought of it. One time, he said, when I was a little boy, maybe his adolescent or say teenager, he said he thought about going to watch people having a party while alcohol being served. He thought about it, he said. He said, I said to my, he was a shepherd taking care of the sheep. He said to his company, the young man with him, watch my sheep. I'm going to see what those people are doing there. He said, I'm going to my way. I fell asleep. He said, when I woke up, the party was over. Even he did not attend that. Allah did not allow him. Why? He's the seal of the Prophet. No corruption. The mind has to be clear. And never lied even once since he was a child. Never even once. مَا عَهَدُوا عَلَيْهِ كَذِبْ قَطْ He did not lie even once in his childhood. Imagine, as a young man, teenagers, and so forth, he might, you know, said, let me try this and try that. He never lied. He was trustworthy, even in when he was young. People used to trust him with things, give him things to keep. His uncle, his grandfather, they realized how trustworthy this young man is. And that's why they love him so much. His grandfather, Abu Abdul Muttalib, he loved him dearly. And his uncle, Abu Talib. Even as Abu Talib did not accept Islam, but he knew the quality of his nephew. And that's why the name of Rasulullah in Mecca was Al-Amin, the trustworthy. They said there is no one in Mecca was known by this name except the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no man was called Al-Amin in Mecca, entire Mecca, except the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's before he became Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Maysara, this man who worked for Khadija radiallahu anha, worked with him in trade, he said, I have not seen a person more honest and trustworthy than Muhammad, meaning Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Honesty and integrity was his attributes. That leads us to this point of the risala, the message. I'm not going to go over all the seerah. There's no time for this. Maybe sometimes we can contemplate and reflect in many events of the seerah. I'm going to give you like a one dose things for one class, so you can move on with the series. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet, or let me just, before he became a prophet, the reason that Khadija radiallahu anha chose him to be her husband and proposed to him because what have seen, she have seen on him. She dealt with all other businessmen before. Some people worked for her before. But honesty, in a way that Rasulullah have displayed and showed, she have not seen. Kindness. Even Maysara was coming and telling her, things said, there's something unique about this man. There's some. He talked too much, you know, a lot about him to the extent she said, I want him to be my husband. Maysara got fascinated. He said, the way he talked to people, the way he speak, the way he deal in business, just was praising him and praising him and praising him. Because she did not dealt with him in that journey. She did not travel with him. She heard the news from Maysara. Then she proposed to him. She asked him to marry her. And Rasulullah, of course, accepted the proposal. And him and Khadija was the best match. You know, in marriage you say match made in heaven. This is really the best match ever. And the right person, the right time. And I'm going to tell you why. Khadija, radiallahu anha, was the right person in the right time for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although there's a difference of age between him and her. But you're going to see the benefit of that in the beginning of his life. And he stayed married to Khadija until she died, and he did not marry anyone else except her. And what kind of a relationship they had? This is before he became a prophet. This is the attribute of a man even before he became a prophet. Khadija, as we're going to report, she noticed his virtue and quality of the man. she reminded him of his quality when he came shaking the day that he was told he is a prophet. Rasul he used to take time out to go and contemplate in this Mount of Hira. He never was satisfied with the condition of Mecca. Never felt this is the right place and environment. You know, when someone hate or dislike falsehood in their heart, that's a sign of iman. But if you see someone say, you know, I don't drink, but I watch them drinking, no problem. You know, I don't, it is when you become comfortable with the sin, when you become satisfied, you know, it doesn't bother you, there's a problem with us. It should bother us, should make us not comfortable. If a person is comfortable laughing and while someone is drinking alcohol in front of them, something wrong. Rasulullah felt that this environment is not a good environment. Let me take some time to contemplate and reflect. And that's why from that Mount of Hira, he used to look down. It happened that I mentioned last time, and I don't advise you to do it, because I learned the lesson, it's very difficult. I climbed the mountain and I saw the cave. And Rasulullah from the cave, you can see the valley of Mecca. Of course, you can imagine Mecca with no big buildings and just a valley. And from that distance, by the way, it took a quite drive, actually, from Haram to come to the Hira. The Hira is not right there on the Kaaba, as people might think. But from it is the top. You can see Mecca. In that cave, there's what the contemplation and reflection was. Away from the noise of Mecca, from the drinking and the dancing and all. He used to, from all of this noise of Mecca, the trade, he sit there and look, contemplating the conditions of humanity and the condition of people of Mecca. And there where the news came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel to him. What little Halima As-Sa'diyah knew and her husband, taking care of that child, taking him to that suburb, and the child is the one that will be able to speak and to communicate with Jibreel with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He received the revelation of the wahi. And what an event. And I would like you to imagine, as it's in the qissah of Musa alayhi salam, that Musa alayhi salam left his wife to get some fire or to warm her. He left, he came back as a prophet. Khadija radiallahu anha, she thought this is just like any other day. It was another, just like a regular day in Mecca, perhaps. There was nothing that in Mecca is Khadija, she can see a light coming and going toward the cave or something. There was no fireworks. It is a regular day. And what a day. Imagine a husband leave as a regular, an ordinary person, come back as a prophet. I would like to maybe to pose, to help, to pray for Maghrib. And I would like to speak about this moment of receiving the revelation and what it means changing Rasulullah's life from being this ordinary person to become a prophet. What it meant, prophethood, and what do we mean by this? And how that having to contemplate and reflect on this can bring us closer to Rasulullah and have us to take Rasulullah as a model and example. We do that inshallah after Maghrib. I think Maghrib will be in 4 minutes. Jazakumullah khair. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. وعلى من والاه اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى ال محمد ما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم فاعلمين انك حميد مجيد. We'll continue the talk about the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. I'm not going to go through the whole seerah. I'm just going to give you some scenes. Imagine each scenes. And we'd like to see the moral we learn from that scene. while he's in the cave, Ghar Hira, contemplating, reflecting, in the year 610, after the birth of Isa alayhi salam, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. Our feet and legs and so forth overcome that journey. It was very tough, exhausting journey. Therefore, there's no person he could have imagined coming to him up there, and he chose that spot so not to be bothered. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him Jibreel. And Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a form of a man. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa Prophet Muhammad have not seen this person before. Imagine that the space was only a space for one person. It's so small, the cave. And he has a man standing before him, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing this man have not seen before. And was Jibreel alayhi salam. To have Rasulullah start the journey of prophethood and to have the journey of Islam begins and to have the history of Adam Center begins sitting here. That's how you end up here. From that cave, you end up here in Washington, in Virginia, sitting and speaking in this masjid about Rasulullah. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he asked Rasulullah to read. In another narration, he hugged him, he squeezed him first. Rasulullah said, excuse me, to the extent that I was afraid, scared. And then he released him. And he said to him, read, iqra. Rasulullah said, ma ana biqari. I don't know how to read. What to read? He squeezed him and released him again, asked the same thing. Third time, then he revealed to him Surah Al-Qalam. Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, iqra' wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi allama bil-qalam. On Saturday, we have a class here after Fajr. We're going to tafsir of Quran, but we're using chronological order. The surah that revealed first. And you can see, by looking at the Quran, you can see also the life of Rasulullah, the stage he went through. That moment, when Rasulullah realized there's something happening here, unusual, he was worried. Although the word was printed in his heart, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him in the Quran, okay, when he used to recite Quran, it tried to haste, Inna alayna jam'ahu wa Qur'ana. Don't worry about it. You print it in your heart. Allah have him the first five ayat printed in his heart. He going to Khadija radiallahu anha. Imagine this scene, brothers and sisters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving the cave. He did not go to Abu Bakr. You know, when something happened to us in Arab culture, modern Arab culture, sometimes you say this is not a woman's stuff. You have to talk to men. You know? If the police stop me maybe in the street or something happened to me, maybe instead of people call their wife, they call, you know, so-and-so. Maybe can come and help because the wife may not come in to help. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not go to Abu Bakr, although Abu Bakr was his friend at the time, by the way, radiallahu anhu. He did not go to anyone else. He did not go to his uncle, Abu Talib. Where did he go? He went to Khadija. And that showed the relationship between him and his wife. The closeness. Therefore, if something worried him, something that he cannot explain, he went to Khadija radiallahu anha. And that shows also talks volumes about Khadija herself. And here, a young man is coming, Rasulullah. Khadija used to get him food, give him the time being alone, contemplate and reflect. Coming, shaking. What experience that he have seen Jibreel alayhi salam. His life would change completely forever. You know, when people get married, you say your life changed. When you have the first job, you say your life changed. When you become 16 in America, you say your life changed. You know? Here, he become a prophet. He left his home as an ordinary person, coming back to his wife as prophet. Not only a prophet, the seal of prophets. The last messenger be sent to humanity. Can you imagine overwhelming that a person become a prophet? And what is prophethood means? Because when you say Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Prophet Muhammad, let's reflect on this prophet. What mean prophet? Mean messenger. Of whom? You know, in America, they say the person get their power from their office that they occupied. The president of the United States, the office of the integrity of the office, the level of the office, isn't it? That you become the office. Here, the prophethood, what that means? He got order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver a message to humanity. Allah trust him with his word. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine prophethood, what it means prophethood? To have someone like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah chose him to give him words, to trust him, to convey to millions of people who today say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, because that man in Mecca, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came and told them, Allah spoke to me. Allah revealed to me. What a powerful thing a position can be in. No more than that, being a prophet. He came to his wife. Did he say, let us celebrate, let us have a cake? He came and worried. And that's one of the proof that he did not make up this. Why a person will come to his wife shaking after he become a prophet and just spoke to an angel? You know, sometimes, not to make fun of some of the things that I see sometimes in America, but it is funny sometimes. When you see someone on Sunday say, I spoke to Jesus last night, and Jesus did this and that to me, and just like a form of celebration, you know? You can, of course, they make up things, because Jesus does not come and sit to someone in the living room and talk to somebody. But the point here, that the Rasulullah came and was worried, shaking. Zammiluni, zammiluni, dathiruni, dathiruni, cover me, cover me. What an experience. And who did this covering? This is his wife, Khadija. Her act, the way they took care of him, it became Quran. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, ya ayyuhal muddathir. Who put that blanket on the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Allah called him muzammil al muddathir. This was Khadija radiallahu anha. But it's a very crucial moment. Very crucial. Because if someone said, something happened to me, I don't know what happened to me, I just saw man, I don't know what this is, this real? Just in the state of confusion, she could have said, forget about it, don't go back to the cave. Wise woman. No. First thing she told him, the word of confidence. And that's one of the lessons, brothers and sisters. If your spouse come to you, they're troubled by something, don't start criticizing when a person is not comfortable, when a person is shaking, when a person is confused. You don't point, why you drove the car to have an accident? Why didn't you change the oil? Why didn't you have the brake? Why didn't you? There's a time of comfort. I'm not going to do counseling here, but it's a time of comfort. You comfort the person first, and then you talk to her later. She said to him, Wallahi, la yukhzik Allah. Immediately he said, I don't know what happened to him. He said, don't worry. Allah will not put you down. You are a good man. You help the neighbors. That's what I said earlier, that he was doing that before he became a prophet. You are very kind to your neighbors. You are a very good host. You are very generous. You help the needy. You help people who need help. You are there for people. A man such like you, nothing bad will happen to him. First word of comfort. Second, then she took him to her cousin. Waraq ibn Nawfal was a man of scripture, Christian, for counseling. She said, I'm going to take to someone who knows better. He told her what the Jibreel told him, alayhi salam. He told her that this man came to me and said, read, اقرب اسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. Immediately she went, the referral went to where? She didn't take him to Abu Jahl. She didn't take him to someone who would say, oh, what is this? She said, this something of scripture, something, name of Allah, reading the name of your Lord. Who knows this stuff? Waraq ibn Nawfal. She took him to Waraq ibn Nawfal, where he told him he will be the prophet of this Ummah. And one of the things really amazing, that many people when they read the seerah, they don't look at into it. What Khadija radiallahu anha told Rasulullah and what Waraq ibn Nawfal told Rasulullah, that was the beginning of the confirmation of prophethood. Waraq ibn Nawfal says, هَذَا النَّامُوسَ الَّذِي جَاءَ مُوسَى. This is the same angel who came to Musa alayhi salam. You'll be the prophet of this ummah. And I wish I will be alive and a young man when your people will kick you out of Mecca. Waraq is saying that. Imagine immediately in the counseling, you give him a shock therapy. He told him this is gonna be not gonna be easy, right? Your people gonna kick you out of Mecca. He said, "Aw mukhrijihum, would they do this?" He said, "Yes, there is no man came what we came you came with, and the people left him alone." He got the heavy dose. In the beginning, this is a serious matter. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, after that, قم الليل إلا قليلا, stand up and pray at night. نصه أو انقص منه قليلا, half of it or less than. أو زد عليه or more. ورتل القرآن ترتيلا, just few verses that reveal to you. إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا. We're going to give you a heavy mission, a serious business. Ulama says, the rest of the Quran, da'wah, conveying the message of Islam, he told him from the beginning, this is not going to be easy. Therefore, we want to prepare you for it. How you prepare? Spiritually. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray at night, long hours. Khadija radiallahu anha, she was worried. Her husband, now, spending the night praying. He said, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why don't you take a break? Come to sleep. He said, قَدْ ذَهَبَ زَمَنُ النَّوْمِ يَا خَدِيجَ. The time of sleep of Khadija is over. I cannot sleep anymore. Serious. The time of sleep is over. And that's why when he used to pray long hours, they used to tell him that didn't Allah forgive your sin? He said, أَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I be a grateful servant to Allah? He chose me as a prophet. He gave me this mission. Shouldn't be grateful? Should be more connected with him? There's no belief that, okay, I'm holy and I don't need to do all of this prayer. He's standing at night praying, and that's why Allah prepared him. And that's why, brothers and sisters, there's a gap between Muzammil and Mudathir, about 3 years. In Mudathir, he was asked to what? To all people, not only to immediate family, but to all people to declare the message. They prepared him spiritually. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qum al-layla illa qaleela nusawwin nusawwin alayhi al-qur'ana inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. In Mudathir, ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'anzir. Rabbaka fakabbir. Wa thiyabaka fatahhir. Now, go out. He took that training to face the whole world. And now we're going to come to this scene. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine he wants to tell people that he's a prophet. What's the best way to declare the message? In Mecca, there's mountain. There's no CNN. There's no satellite. There's no Al Jazeera TV. Only thing that he called Mecca and gather people and gather them. And note this. You remember I said that he was trustworthy? Muslims would like to do da'wah in America. We like to convey the message. We have to be trustworthy. People have to see that we are honest. People have to see that we are decent. People have to believe in us as individuals and then to learn the message of Islam from our mouth. He stood in the mountain, and he said, oh, people of Mecca, come here. They gather. He said, if I tell you there was a horseman behind this mountain about to attack you, would you believe me? What did they say? Yes, ما جربنا عليك كذب. We have no experience that you have lied to us before. Therefore, while he was standing in that physical mountain, he was also standing in the top of the mountain of credibility. Mount of credibility. It was credible. He looked to their eyes. Said, if I tell you this, would you believe me? Does he have anything in his record they're afraid of? No. Clear record. He said, would you believe me? They said, yes. You never lied. ما جربنا عليك كذب. Then he told them, I'm a prophet of Allah. He stood the mount of credibility first. And that's something very important for us. And that makes us love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see that Rasul sallam always represented himself as trustworthy and honest and decent person, even before he became a prophet. Now, I'm going to take you to different scenes in his life. And I would like to have you in each virtue to see the scene. Because you can read Bukhari or Riyad al-Salihin very organized in different virtue. But here I want to connect the seerah with the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, meaning that to imagine the scene and then we can learn what can we learn from it. The reason that we are distant from Rasulullah ﷺ, we took the life of Rasulullah as a text. We look to number of a hadith, but we don't have not seen it in action. We do not brought it to our life in action. The Rasulullah, the companions, whatever he does, they do. That's it. They see him act and they follow him. Qudwa. They took him as uswa. Allah says in Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Very surely in the Prophet you have the best model and example. لِمَنْ كَانِ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. If you seek the pleasure of Allah, you like to please Allah, follow his Prophet. Take him as a model. وَلِيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And day of judgment. Now, Allah said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his rahma lil alameen. And this, by the way, itself should all of us, if we would like to connect ourselves to this infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, went to follow his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who sent us mercy. Imam Ghazali said something very interesting. He said, look to the word of rahma in Quran. Allah is ar-Rahman. He said about Prophet as rahma lil alameen. He said about the Quran as rahma, as mercy. Therefore, the ultimate infinite mercy brings nothing but mercy. Sending as a Prophet as mercy, the words that was revealed to him as mercy. للعالمين وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. We send you as a mercy to all humanity. And I want to take you to different scenes from his life. And we contemplate on the scenes. Let me begin with his family life. Let us, as spouses sitting here today, if we love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you would like to admire Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look to his life. Khadija radiallahu anha, she have seen from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nothing but kindness. Rahmah. He loved his wife so much to the extent that even after she died, if one of her friends knocked the door, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would jump. If he was sitting, he would jump and stand up. Said, I recognize this knocking. I recognize this voice. إِنَّهَا صَاحِبَةُ Khadija. She's a friend of Khadija. And he used to slaughter a sheep and take the meat to the friends of Khadija. After she passed away. And he used to say, there's no person have helped me more than Khadija. They have this close relationship. They have children together. And what a couple, what a parents. Those parents, Rasulullah and Khadija, they raised those children. Of course, you know, the male children died when they're little, but they raised daughters. And you can hear, you can understand from the what Fatima radiallahu anha said about how she used to see her father interact with her mother. The loving relationship, the caring relationship Rasulullah had. And that manifests itself on the children themselves. Today when we talk of love of Rasulullah, that and some of us may say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is, and we're gonna come to that, the salah of Rasulullah, you get hasanat for the salah. Rasulullah. But we should take him as a model and examples. Would the Rasulullah would be happy if he come to our home today and see the husband and wife interacting? Are we following his footsteps? As we're gonna come to the end of this course, we're gonna talk about what change should make as spouses, as parents, in our household, following Rasulullah. But here, the scene of Rasulullah standing up because he heard the knock of a friend of Khadija radiallahu anha. Did Khadija radiallahu anha, when Rasulullah was boycotted 3 years, 3 years in Mecca, she was there with him, a rich woman. She was living a life of a rich woman. She has her own business, but she gave it all for the da'wah of Islam. And she did not complain about him. She did not ask, why is that? Until she passed away. When she passed away, that year called Aam al-Huzn, Rasulullah was not saddened in his life more than when he lost Khadija and his uncle in the same year. Take that scene. The other scene I would like you to think of is the scene of Rasulullah interacting with his daughter, Fatima. And maybe before that, I will take another example from his marriage life. Rasulullah will come to the house in the noontime. He used to have something called Qaylula. And by the way, in America, when I study about anxiety and stress and so forth, they say this nap is very helpful. This nap. Okay. Therefore, in the weekend, I know in America you work from 9 to 5, but in the weekend, take your nap in Qaylula time. It's good for the body. Rasulullah used to come and take a nap, putting his head in where? In the laps of Aisha. Resting his head in her lap. That's how close they were. She said sometimes when he used to do ihtikaf, he will give her his head because the masjid is close to his room, and she will work in his head, you know, braid his head, hair. They sit together, eat. Rasulullah take a piece of food, bite of food. He put some in her mouth, something in his mouth. Today, if you do that in whatever culture you may come from, Arabs, African, Pakistani, and so forth, like, oh my, you're flirting with your wife? You know, what is this about? You know, stay away from me a little bit, you know. A man might not do it because it's just going to question like manhood things. You know, feeding your wife? No, you should order your wife, you know, around. Get the food, get the plate, go and get this, get the tea. Not only that, he will call her with beautiful names. He will come. Imagine him walking in the house and said, "Ya Aish." Okay, dear, honey, whatever you call, that's Ya Aish. Then he said, "Ya Humaira, Ya Bint al-Siddiq." Beautiful names.
What do they mean?
Okay, he said, "Oh, the daughter of the trustworthy or the honest," meaning al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. He called Aisha, Ya Aish is a nickname. He named Aisha, he called her Aish. Okay? Beautiful ways of calling her. Not only that, Sayyida Aisha said, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hint, if he doesn't like something, he will not say, "I don't like this." Okay? Give a hint on it. Okay? One time, one scene, I'm going to close this part of the spouse. Aisha and Rasul have dispute. Disagree. Husband and wife. Rasulullah said, "Let us look for a mediator, somebody to mediate this conflict we have." He's a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Doesn't that make you love him more? That a man as a prophet, he could say to his wife, "Listen, I'm the prophet of Allah, whatever I say, it goes." He said, "We have dispute agreement. Can you bring a mediator?" She said, "Okay, whom you choose?" He said, "Umar." She said, "No, I don't like it. I don't like to have Umar to be mediator." And that's normal. This is a normal life. He said, "How about your father?" He said, "Okay, about my father." When they came, see the patience of Rasulullah, the decency of this man. They sat. Rasulullah said, "Should I start or you should start?" He said, "You start and say nothing but the truth." Whom she talking about? She's talking about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Bakr get angry. He jumped on his daughter and said, "Wahal yaqulu illa al-haq ya shaqiyya? Doesn't he speak nothing but the truth? What's wrong with you?" Rasul sallam stopped him. He said, "Abu Bakr, I did not call you for this. I didn't call you to punish your daughter. We come here to mediate. Keep the other things, just filter it." Then Abu Bakr mediated with Rasulullah and Aisha. After that, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left. Rasulullah and Aisha, they had a meal together. They start eating. Nothing happened. Abu Bakr, because the father-in-law radiallahu anhu, can enter anytime in the house. He came and found them eating. He said, "What happened? You called me when you were having dispute and now we're having food. What happened? Why didn't you invite me?" Joking with them. This is the life that the Rasulullah used to live. We need to know him as a man in a household. How he dealt with his spouse, with daughter. He was very playful with his children. Very kind. He spent a lot of time with them. Not only his children, the children of other companions. He used to go outside and play with the children. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When you see them in the masjid, give them dates and so forth, inviting them more. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he used to come from a trip, even after Fatima radiallahu anha get married, he used to stop by her home first. And he used to kiss her in her forehead. Very close relationship. Imagine this scene. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam coming from a travel. He was traveling from a trip. Visiting Fatima first. He looked exhausted, tired. They didn't have 707, and there's no United Airlines, there's no cheap tickets, there's no other things like that, where we do da'wah to do and conferences and flying all over the place, alhamdulillah. It used to be even walking or riding on a camel. It took months and days and so forth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came exhausted. She looked at him, she cried. Daughter and father. Rasulullah said, "Ma yabkiki ya bunayyati?" "Oh, my beloved daughter, why are you crying? Why are you sad?" She said, "Oh, Rasulullah, you look exhausted. You look tired." She worried about him. She said, "Oh, my daughter, Allah have not sent your father with this religion to rest. He was working hard to make sure the religion will reach Sterling, Virginia. Make sure that Muhammad Majid and Abdullah Rida will become Muslim. Make sure that you come to this place sitting here. Working hard." He said, "Allah have not sent your father with this religion to rest. Allah sent me with this religion so that it will not be a house made of mud or stones or made of the skin of animals without having La ilaha illallah into it." That's why he said to his companions one day, "Wallahi liyablughanna hadha al-amr ma balagha al-layl wal-nahar." He was so confident. He said, "I swear by Allah, this religion will reach as the night and the day reaches all the corner of the globe." "Liyablughanna hadha al-amr ma balagha al-layl wal-nahar." Went to say to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "لقد بلغت الرسالة." Surely have reached as the night and the day reaches. Islam now in Australia, Islam now in America, Islam in every corner of the globe. But it began from that working hard. And that's why we owe him. We owe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This salam and sending, asking, making dua for him is nothing for what he have done for us. And for this ummah of Islam. This scene, as a grandfather, imagine this. When people sometimes they don't see, we think that religiosity about hardships, being hard, being frowned, you know, we think that the seriousness in religion not to smile. Rasulullah is always a smiling man. One of the Sahaba said, "Ma nadartu ilayhi illa wa tabassam." I have not looked at him except he smiled. وَكَانَ إِذَا الْتَفَتَ الْتَفَتَ جَمِيعًا. If somebody said, "Oh, Rasulullah," he would not say, "Yeah." He would, all his body would turn. الْتَفَتَ جَمِيعًا. To give a respect to the person who calling him. He was standing in the minbar, giving khutbah. And by the way, sometime in fiqh, you read something that for fiqh rules, but sometimes we forget the wisdom behind the story. Because sometimes we like to subtract things from the story only for fiqh ruling. You read in Fiqh Sunnah and other book of Fiqh, the khatib is permissible. The khatib can move from the minbar to change something and come back. But the story they put in Fiqh is very interesting. He was giving a speech, and Al Hasan Al Hussein come running in the masjid. He stepped from the minbar, he came down, grabbed them, took them back to the minbar while he giving the speech. And he said, "See the love of fatherhood that made me leave my minbar for those children. They're so adorable," we say. He went and took them and picked them up. When he was making sujood, they come and climb on his back. He will not move his head until they step down. Today, salam alaikum, alaikum salam, spank. They hate anything called salah. Well, now, very patient. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why he used to look to them. And he said about Al-Hasan, "Hada in ibni hada sayyid." Allah sayyislah bihi, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him a mediator, a peacemaker between two group of Muslims who fight. And he did. Al-Hasan, alayhi salam, he the one who brought the peace and calmed the war. Al-Hasan al-Hasan, Sayyiday Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. That's as a family man. As with his companions, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a caring person. He will not see you, a brother, sad in the masjid, and will say, "Salaam alaikum, salaam alaikum," and then he'll pass you. He noticed things. Do brothers and sisters, let me be honest. If you find a sister or a brother just sitting in a corner in the masjid like this, would you care to say, "How are you? Salaam alaikum"? If you don't know the person, if you don't know them, then go to take your shoes and leave. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a companion sitting in the masjid. In the time, it's not time of salah. He entered his house next to the masjid. He saw the man sitting. He said, "Why are you sitting in the masjid at time of not time of salah?" He said, "Oh Rasulullah, I have a lot of debts, financial troubles. I'm worried. I have so much things to worry about." Rasulullah sallam put his hand in the shoulder of the man, give him comfort. And he said, "Should I teach you some words that will bring comfort to you?" He said, "Oh, Rasulullah, teach me those words." He said, "Say, oh Allah, I seek refuge by you. Min alham, being worried." We worry about so many things, don't we, in America? There's so many things that get us worried. And rightly so. "Inna a'udhu bikum min alhammi wal hazan." "Oh Allah, I seek refuge by you from being worried and from sadness. Hammi wal hazan. Wal ajzi wal kasal. From being lazy and being helpless. والجبن والبخل, being coward and being stingy. وغلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. From overwhelmed financial troubles and debts and from the oppression of men." He saw Khalid ibn Walid. He said, how are you feeling? Radiallahu anhu. He said, I cannot sleep at night. I have araq. Then he said to him, should I teach you what to say? Then he taught him a hadith so that he, a dua, to help him to go to sleep. He met one of the companions and said, how are you feeling today? The companion says, Asbahtu mu'minan. I feel I'm a believer today. Excitement. You know, this is casual asking. No appointment. It doesn't have to be, okay, send a letter. Okay. Now, he just go to the street and walk in the street, grab a companion. How you feel? He said, Asbahtu mu'minan ya Rasulullah. I feel I'm a believer today. Rasulullah said, oh, what's the sign of your belief? What did he do? He said, أَضْمَأْتُ نَهَارِي وَقُمْتُ لَيْلِي. I fasted during the day and stood and prayed at night. وَعَزَفَتْ نَفْسِي عَنِ الدُّنْيَا. I become not liking materialism, detached from it. فَرَأَيْتُ عَرْشِي رَبِّي بَارِزًا. As if I have seen the throne of Allah. وَرَأَيْتُ أَهْلَ النَّارِ فِي النَّارِ يَتَلَاوَمُونَ. And I saw people of hell blaming one another, crying on each other. وَهَلَ الْجَنَّةِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ يَتَزَاوَرُونَ. And people of heaven visiting one another. Rasulullah said, عَرَفْتَ فَلْسَ. In another riwayah, he said, this man, he grabbed it, have really grabbed the fact or the principles of belief of Iman. That was casual asking. Rasulullah sallam. Things that amazing from the seerah of Rasulullah sallam, this was not lecture was given. Rasulullah sallam did not sit in the masjid and said, hadith number one, blah, blah, blah. Hadith number two, hadith number three. That was interaction. He was one of the hadiths. Ibn Abbas was in the behind him, in a camel, going. And Rasulullah said, 10 years old. He didn't say, I'm not going to talk to this boy. I'm Rasulullah. Okay? Get out of my camel. Okay? Now, he had a serious conversation with him. And that's what we need to do as your children, brothers and sisters. Give them confidence. Don't belittle them. Always, sometimes, just go with your children. Your children, go here. This kind of attitude we have. 10 years old, he said, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. Oh, young man, I'm going to teach you a few words. And he told him that few words. And that's one of the virtues of Rasulullah. He gave him introduction that it's not going to be long. Therefore, don't feel bored. There's going to be few words. No, alimuka kalima. What are they? يحفظ الله يحفظك. Be with Allah, Allah will protect you. يحفظ الله تجد تجاهك. Be with Allah, we find Allah. Therefore, whenever you may be, need help. إذا سألت فاسأل الله. When you ask, ask Allah. إذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. When you seek aid and help, seek from Almighty, from Allah. وأعلم. And that's what sometimes we need to remind ourselves because we get shaky. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ. You must know, if humanity gathered, here, including USA, Russia, China, United Security Council, United Nations, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ, people, period, لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. If all of them made a resolution, they passed a resolution, says, we're going to really benefit Muhammad Majid. We're going to take care of him. And Allah said, no, you will not. I'm going to take his soul tonight. You cannot see him tomorrow. He will be buried. Period. His life is in my hand. You want to do something good to you? They will never be able to benefit you. إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Except for something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have written for you. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ. If they gathered to rook with shay, want to harm you, they will not be able to do so unless Allah written that against you. رُفَعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ. Pen are lifted. وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. Paper were dried. Books are dried. To 10 years old. Also, there's another young man, a child, was eating with Rasulullah. And this companion, he's telling us that. He said, I was a little boy. وَكَانَتْ يَدِي تَطِيشْ. And my hand used to go all over the plate. He will eat, like you say, oh, I want to eat from there. And he grabbed this. You know, then he grabbed this and he grabbed it. Then he say, okay, give me your hand. Go and sit there, you know, you ground it. You're not going to be eating with us. Now, Rasulullah said, oh, young boy, when you eat, eat from your side. Eat kul ma yalik. Before you eat, thammillah. Say bismillah. Or kul bi yaminik. Eat with your right hand. Or kul min ma yalik. And eat from your side. Three words. The etiquette was taught to this boy. Ya thammillah, kul bi yaminik, kul ma yalik. For young boy. That's how Rasulullah, he will come to every level. There's not something called intellectual, I cannot speak to children. You know, and the Prophet Allah, only the Umar and Abu Bakr can understand me. But you guys, next people, maybe I have another layer where people can make a symbol for you. Now, he will speak. They said Rasulullah used to walk in the street, a little girl will come. Say, oh, Rasulullah, I want to talk to you. She will hold his hand, and she will walk him away from the companions. تَأْخُذُ الْجَارِيَ بِيَدِهِ He will walk with her. And the companions will be like, oh. He will not say, oh, didn't your parents tell you I'm a prophet of Allah? He will take his hand and walk him away. جَارِيَ تَأْخُذُهُ That's the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is our prophet, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We need to have that scenes in our head. When you think of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will take you another scene. Al Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his companion. He went away to do something and to come back. And when he came back, the companions, they were sitting under a tree and one of them said, oh, a pigeon, let us take there the chicks, those the little one. They went and they climbed and they took them. Plain. Today, in Muslim countries, you see children taking a cat by the tail and do like that. Or adults, you know, hitting animals and so forth. Very cruel. Cruelty in over the place. And if you say, this is Ummah of Rasulullah, what's happening here? He said, and he saw the pigeon flying over his head, above his head. He looked at it and said, مَنْ فَجَعَ هَذِي فِي وَلَدِهَا Who is scared, who have disturbed this pigeon by taking the little one? They said, we did. Rasulullah said, we are not moving anywhere unless you return them back to the nest. A pigeon? Executive order for a pigeon? He's مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ He saw two companions sitting in their horses having a conversation. Blah, 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 blah. They're talking and stuff. Rasulullah said, do not take your animal as couches. Either you use them, transport, or if you're going to have conversation, step down. This is our prophet. They're talking about animal rights in the 20th century or 21st century. What happened to Muslims? This is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will conclude the scenes by saying that the companions loved him so much that one of them would not even think that to be in the position where Rasulullah could be hurt and he would be saved. You know, one of the companions, they took him in Mecca. The people of Mecca grabbed him after the hijrah. They start beating him, and one of the companions witnessing that. They said, cut him to pieces. They cut his toe, they cut this. And one of them said, would you wish Muhammad to be in your place today? Imagine in that bleeding circumstances and the torture until he died. He said, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, it would never make me happy if a thorn or a nail come to his foot and I'm saved, not having to be in my place. That's how much they love him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People love the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The children, they see him every day, how he deal with them. When in Battle of Badr, two of the children, they come to one of the companions and said, we're looking for Abu Jahl. He said, oh, children, what do you need because of Abu Jahl? He said, سَمِعْنَا أَنَّهُ يَسُبُّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We heard that he cursed the Prophet. We want to get him. That how much? They didn't say that we don't know him. This is he's a friend of my father. No, he's a friend of me. The children are saying that. I love him. وَسَمِعْنَا أَنَّهُ يَسُبُّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. They love him so much, Al-Khansa. This poet, very famous woman, very amazing lady, Al-Khansa. If you read her poetry and poems. She used to be in Jahiliyyah before Islam. She lost her brother named Sakhr. And she really mourned him for months and months. She didn't even take a shower. After she became Muslim, she has four children. In one of the battles, she lost all of them. One bird, all the children. People are coming. She was in Uhud, they said, Battle of Uhud. She was worried about Rasulullah. She said, how is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How the Rasulullah? They say, Rasulullah is okay, but your children, you lost them. He said, everything after Rasulullah is nothing. As long as he's safe. كل مصيبة بعد رسول الله تهون. As long as he's safe. A woman saying that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, when Rasulullah sallam passed away in Mecca, in Medina, sun have set. What I meant by that, I don't mean like this. The Sahaba, they could not comprehend that they would go to the masjid and they don't see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The cloud came over the moon. I'm not saying physically, I'm talking figuratively here. The sadness in Medina, people went crazy. If it wasn't of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, bring back people and have them to go overcome the shock of missing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While Rasulullah sallam was not buried, the time of Salah came like Asr time. Bilal went to make Adhan. And while he's saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and then when he came to Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, he cried. Because in the picture of Bilal in his head, the kindness, the mercy of this man, of Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, that was being printed in his mind and his heart. He couldn't complete that Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He cried, and the whole Medina cried. Because of he remembered Rasulullah. People in Medina, they had this memory of Rasulullah reaching out to them, checking on them, an old lady. Rasulullah used to check on her. When he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar said, let us go and check on her. They want. The lady started crying. They said, Rasulullah is in a better place. Why are you crying? He said, Wallahi ma li hadha abki. I'm not crying because he passed away. Wallakinni abki li inqita'i khabar as-sama'. I'm crying because Jibreel is not coming down anymore. He used to come for one man. He's not coming back anymore. That's how much they love Rasulullah. My advice to myself and you, we need to learn about Rasulullah's life and take this as a model and example before our eyes. Get excited teaching your children about him. Get excited. Show excitement when you teach your children about Rasulullah. Don't read that book of Sirah like, I'm going to tell you something. You know his name Muhammad and his mother was this. No! Get excited. We're talking about Rasulullah. Finally, I would like to say, No matter how much we say here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Rasulullah a certificate of graduation from the school of morality. Allah said to him, no matter how much you praise him, make poem and poetry about him, Allah said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had the best moral conduct. What a shahada. from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the thing that overwhelmed me in Surah Al-Ahzab, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, in إِنَّ here in Arabic للتوكيد, very surely Allah himself. You see, one person, we get excited as Muslim if somebody recognizes Rasulullah. If somebody says, Muhammad was a good man and a Muslim. You say, oh, I heard this person in CNN said something about Rasulullah. Who is he compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who this person? If I am a Muslim and I read in the Quran Allah saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ, angels, all the angels, يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, send their blessing upon the Prophet. Who, X or Y, say anything negative or positive? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. That's what is that is? That's what Allah said in the Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We have raised your name. How many men are it? Around the world, that they calling أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. How many people named Muhammad today? How many times, even in the tashahud, every time we pray, we say what? اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى نافع عالم إنك حميد مجيد. Who a famous person in the world today get that status? Who?
Nobody.
Therefore, we get fascinated with those little people. We get overwhelmed, excited. We need to comprehend it. And we take Rasulullah as a model and examples in our life. Therefore, inshallah, I'm asking you to read this and to read as a homework. Can we spend a day with Rasulullah? With beloved Prophet Muhammad, a day with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from dawn to sunset. You have it. See the dua, the supplication he used to say in the morning to the night. I will stop here. If any questions you have regarding this session. The other thing is, I would like you at least every day make salah on Rasulullah. You get hasanat. If you say one salah, Allah will give you 10 blessings. Say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fa amilaka hamid majid. Allah bestowed your blessing and peace upon our Prophet Muhammad as you bestowed the peace and blessing upon our Prophet Ibrahim. Is it difficult to say that? Send the blessing upon him. Of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any question? Yes.
What is the dua that he said to the companion who had trans troubles?
It's here. We have it here. When you go to bed.
Let me interrupt. It's the companion who had financial troubles.
Last one.
No, I'm the last one.
Oh.
Any other question? Okay, now. Can we also go home and start reading the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There's many books. Some of them are summarizing the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a book called Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah. It's in Arabic and in English also. List different versions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very small booklet. And you can get it free also. There's some other organization that give it free. That you can read onto that. Get to know our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should remember that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given the shafa'ah in the Day of Judgment. When all the prophets will have excuse, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa will prostrate under the arsh of Allah. Then Allah will say to him, oh Muhammad, raise your head. Ishfa' to shafa', intercede, and your intercession will be accepted. The day that there will, no one will speak except with the permission of Allah. Our Prophet Muhammad will give him permission to speak. Therefore, we have to appreciate what you have done for us. What you have contributed. Rasulullah in conveying this message of Islam, physically was hurt. His teeth, he lost his front teeth one time. Was making sujood. Two people were having conversation in Mecca, said, who going to make fun of Muhammad today? One of them said, I would do it. He went and get the stomach of a camel, filthy stomach, and put it in his back while he making sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah raised his head, make dua. He said, oh Allah, forgive my people, they don't know what they're doing. In Taif, he went to Taif, he was stoned. His feet was bleeding, conveying the message of Islam. Therefore, he deserved from all of us that to follow his model and example. Allah orders in the Quran, he said, if you want to go to the straight path, look to him. He said in the Quran, we reveal to you this book, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِمَنْ نَشَاءُ. We revealed this book to you, you didn't know before it. What is Iman? What is the Kitab? The revelation. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ وَمُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah said to him, verily should you guide people the straight path. صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَلَىٰ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَصِيرُ الْأُمُورُ. The path of Allah, you guide people there. But if you like to look to this path, don't look further than to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه. And you see him walking before you in this path. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have all of us love Rasulullah and have him to be the one that we admire, the one that we feel excited about, and have him to be the person that we look up to in everything that we do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow his blessing on our Prophet Muhammad and to give him the state or the maqam al-mahmood that he, Allah, promised him of. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have this gathering a merciful gathering where there is no one of us that has been deprived from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow his blessing upon us and upon our family. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have been free from sadness and anxiety. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have us free from worries. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have us comfort in our heart. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have us to join Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the day of judgment and to drink from his hand. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have us join him in paradise to have a conversation with him. As one of the companions of Rasulullah sallam, he said, Rasulullah sallam saw him sad. Said, brothers and sisters. He said, why are you sad? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I want you to ask Allah to put me in Jannah. He said, make sujood. Make sujood, you'll be in Jannah. Then the companions again were sad. Rasulullah sallam said, why are you sad now? He said, oh Rasulullah, even if I enter Jannah, I will not be able to see you. I'm so little. You'll be in a high place. I would like to be with you. Rasulullah said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. Don't worry. Allah bring people who love each other in the same level. If you love me, you'll be with me. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have us to join him in paradise, to be among those who love him, love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah to have all of us be the ambassadors of Rasulullah sallam in this land and to represent him in the true way where people can see Islam in us and accept Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you tonight and to protect you and to have us to benefit from what we learned tonight. Nawsam al-Mujib. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum.